Now it's time for Whispers, your number one source for all things paranormal, with your hosts, Jordan Klein and Nick Queen, and produced by the lovely Lola Miller. Whispers is brought to you by West Virginia Penitentiary Tours. At the West Virginia State Penitentiary in Moundsville, unforgettable, historical, educational.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Whispers on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. It is 5:35 p.m., and we are live at the Market House Bar and Grill in Elm Grove.
Hello, you guys.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, it didn't look like it was registering on the computer here, so...
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, he's sitting here reading slowly and looking at the computer like, can I see my voice?
All right, now, Nick, you are real loud.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just telling you that...
Make Jordan fix that for me.
Yes, because Jordan sounds kind of far away, and you sound like you're sitting on my lap.
Well, that's some place that we all want to be.
He's being awkward today.
All right.
Awkward. That's a good word.
Awkward. Mm-hmm. I guess that works. All right, we're here at the Market House Bar and Grill in Elm Grove from 5:30 to 7:30, and then we will be with John at with Edison at Local, our union local, at 7:30. Correct, Lola?
Right.
And it's going to be a grand time. The numbers, call us, 304-214-1600. If you're out of the area, 1-866-514-1600.
You might want to turn yourself up.
Why not? Turn you up and Nick down.
All right,
just
how's
a
that?
Bit.
Is that
there
better?
We go. Now we can actually
that's
see
better.
You.
See,
here
John
you.
Said, don't touch the red knobs for any reason. Don't touch the red knobs. So I'm touching the red knobs.
Now he knows you're touching him. He's going to come back and whip you.
That's
so
right.
I'm sorry if that happens.
Well,
if
you
dead,
sound better now. The only thing we got to watch that you don't start warbling.
He's not going to sing. Blah, blah, it's blah, good.
Blah. Is that like singing?
No, but that's okay. Never okay. mind. I'll let you know if it happens, and then you'll know what it is.
All righty.
So what are you guys up to?
Am I doing that now?
Lola, where are you?
I am back here running the board for us today.
We miss you.
Oh, I miss you too. But somebody's got to get us on and off the air.
You're right.
Someone has to actually work.
Yeah.
All right, we got with us here Mr. J.T. Richardson, who is the proprietor of the Market House Bar and Grill.
I am.
Tell us what you got going on here, J.T.
Not too much. Lola, we miss you out here.
Oh, thank you, J.T.
No
How
problem.
Are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
We have, actually for you guys, Tuesday nights right now, $1 domestic beers and $2 mixed drinks from 5 to 8 as an appreciation for you guys.
Well, we appreciate it, and our listeners appreciate it, so come down and have some drinks with the Whisper Special.
As far as food goes, on the weekends, we have weekend wings for $5.99 till 10, Friday and Saturday, and the flavors would run mild, barbecue, buffalo blue, which is my favorite, plum sweet and spicy.
Mm.
Also running some cheese fries, onion rings, cheese sticks, jalapeno poppers. And our deal of the week is actually Monday night football specials. We have a bucket of beer and a pound of wings for $10. Can't beat it.
Sounds
no,
good.
No, you can't.
Sounds good. What is that plum? What is that?
Plum sweet and spicy.
Plum sweet and spicy. What is that? That sounds interesting.
It's like
See,
Oriental.
It's so
like,
interesting, you don't even know what's in it.
It keeps me speechless. It's like Oriental.
Oriental flavored?
Yeah. It's good, though.
Nice. Now,
different.
What days are your grill open so people can come down and eat?
Our grill is actually open Friday and Saturday, and also Mondays till 10.
Okay.
Friday is all day. We sell fish on Fridays.
Nice.
Which is always a plus. It's always a good time.
Awesome. And come down if you're in the area, if you want to be in the area, come down and enjoy the Whisper Special from 5 to 8. So we got, it's 5:42 now. Got a little bit of time, or we're only a little bit into it. I don't know why I'm saying that. But you got till 8 to get here and have some drinks.
You're ready to leave and go home and go to bed, aren't you?
I don't know what my problem is today.
You're going slow.
I'm going crazy. I need to jump start myself.
Get you some coffee going.
Alrighty. Nikki, JT, thank you very much for having
us. Oh, no problem at all.
Real quick, JT, how do you get here? People that are like, where the heck is this place?
It is on Kruger Street. It's right off of National Road in Elm Grove. Mm-hmm. You would make the turn at the red light by McDonald's and just follow Kruger Street. We're right past the Toy and Train Museum.
Right, very good.
So. Awesome. Get out here. If you're listening, come on out.
Come check us out.
Fun times for all to be had.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks, JT. All right, Nikki. What's going on in the... Well, first off, this is going to be our last show for the year, Lola.
Yes, I know, you guys.
Do you know,
I know
that? Are you sad?
Yes, I am.
I'm sad.
And we are moving to Mondays after the first of the year. Yep. So not only is this your last show, it's the last show on Tuesdays.
Until basketball season. Whenever playoffs are over, we are back on Tuesday nights.
Right.
Which I can't
but
wait.
For the time being. And Joe is going to move us on the network to Monday nights too, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he said he would.
Okay,
and
good.
We might or might not be on the network tonight. We're still...
Yeah, they got all kinds of flooding or something in Louisiana. So...
Oh, I haven't
which
seen
we'll be talking to Joe about that in a little bit. He's a little upset.
Yeah, his what is it? His computer crashed?
Well, no, it's the internet's down.
Oh.
Oh.
Like he's, and they can't. He said it's not really the blind being down. It's like the signal's bad. And they're trying to find it. They don't know what's wrong. So
stuff that happens in a storm.
Yeah. But, yeah, well, I miss everybody until we come back, but I'm not going to say I'm not going to enjoy the break.
Be two weeks off, some Christmas. So I guess, will this be our Christmas episode, Lola?
This is our Christmas,
this is our
episode,
Christmas
I
episode.
Guess.
So you got to sing us a Christmas carol.
No, I don't.
You know what's going to be awkward?
Fitting.
You know what's going to be awkward?
What?
Radio
what?
Silence till she sings.
Oh, don't you do that to me.
Go.
No.
All right, Nikki, you got some stories for us?
Well, before we do that, I did want to ask everybody to pray for my wife's grandfather. He's just had a stroke this past Saturday, I think, Saturday or Friday. I think it was Saturday night, and they had to lifeline him up to Ruby Memorial in Morgantown.
That's a really good hospital.
Is it? Yeah, it's huge. We went over there on Monday.
Ruby's where Dad did... My dad had his open heart surgery.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're really good there.
Yeah, so they're not...
No, that's not. He had his surgery in Ohio. But I had a kid, the kid that I used to work with, he was shipped out there for something.
Oh, okay.
But I was there for like a month. But it's good.
I'm
it's a
sorry.
Good hospital.
But
listen.
But, you know, he's out there, though, and if everybody wants to kind of keep him in their prayers and stuff, that'd be great. But he's... they're not sure exactly what's happening yet, but just keep him in your prayers over the holidays. It's kind of a rough time to have something like that happen.
Yeah, that's rough for a family.
Yeah. But
on to some ghost season UFOs, Nikki. What do we got?
All right. Well, actually, we had a story last week that we didn't get to get to that you were brought up about the UK... closing their UFO file or UFO ministry.
Yeah, the UK officially shut down their UFO hotlines, where people could call in if they're having an incident. You know, they can call and report it, and they decided to shut that down. Apparently, it's going to save money. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think that's something that's happened, you know, around workers. The United States doesn't even have an official one, but you know, it's.
Well, it was Project Blue Book, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but it closed down, I think, back in the 60s or 70s. I can't remember exact date. But I think it's just something that's going to keep on happening. You know, things are going to be shutting down, services and so forth. And the ones that look bad will be the first ones to go. So,
Okay, what do the people in the UK do now?
I think you got the internet and stuff. I think there'll be something unofficial, kind of like MUFON or something. Not saying they're not like... an official capacity, but they're not government-based.
It's not the government.
Yeah. So, but I know Nick Pope had a lot to say about that. That's
now who's Nick Pope?
He's the UFO researcher out in the UK. So, I know he's been mentioned in several articles. But, I mean, they just released a bunch of files, too. So, Okay, it's kind of sad.
So did they release their files before we released ours?
We haven't released any official files, really.
Well, we have the Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah, but they black out most of that stuff. They don't care about... So it's like, well, here's your file, but... Well, that's great. I'm glad it's, you know, piece of black paper with words on it, you know, more or less. But, yeah, we haven't released anything. I don't know why we haven't released it. We need to have Stephen Bassett back on eventually, ask him what the heck happened with the...
Yeah, what was the date he said that...
June.
June. Oh. Do you remember that, Lola? You even there anymore? Lola died.
Lola's walked out of the office. We're just talking into the ether.
What do you guys want? I'm sorry, we're talking about the basketball schedule.
Oh, Stephen Bassett. You remember he was on saying in June, was it June, Nick?
I think it was June.
That President Obama should release the UFO
disclose the information
or else.
Yes. What did he do something?
No.
Did he like threaten to blow up the federal building or something?
Every now and then, or you know.
He said it was going to be a huge media uproar.
Yes, I remember that. I was looking for civil disobedience on this one.
Yeah, we were hoping for something.
Yeah,
I marched in the street, but that's because my car was parked kind of far away.
And he had his Roswell shirt on. That was Nick protesting.
So like, I'm mad. Not mad enough to make a sign, but I'm mad.
Yeah, so Stephen Bassett, you're dropping the ball, buddy. What's going on? If you're even listening.
We're
going
to do radio silence until he says something. That'd be bad.
No, give us another story.
All right. Well, let me see here. Scientists are, article, looking for alien Earths. Here they come. Space probes pick up exoplanets galore, beginning with the weirder ones. Scientists are on their way to discovering thousands of new planets, potentially including hundreds of worlds the size of Earth in Earth-like orbits around sun-like stars. They expect to achieve that goal within 3 years or so.
Is this because of that satellite they shot off today?
Yeah, it's the European Space Agency's CORROT, I guess you're going to say it, CORROT satellite, and NASA's Kepler spacecraft. They're designed to spot close-in planets most easily. It's always really irked me when you talk to people. It's like, oh, we're the only ones, and you know, there's no chance anything out there is can be just
out
like
there.
Us. Yeah, and it's just like, or they have to have exactly this, or they can't be. You can't have anything. So it just irks me.
Okay. Yeah, I know that it's really arrogant to think that we are the only life forms out there. You know, I don't know. That bothers me.
I think it's one of those things that's like, you look at somebody and you think they're going to be exactly like you, you know, that they have the same experiences and they're, you know, they're the same religion, they're the same beliefs, and then...
Are we talking about people or aliens?
I think it's something people are, you know, I think it's something within us that's like, you know, you think they're going to be the exact same beliefs as you, and if they say, oh, well, no, I'm not, it's like, why? You know, it's...
Why not?
You should be exactly like me. And it's just like, well, they have to have oxygen, and they have to have... You know, well, but why should they, you know? What if
they breathe nitrogen?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's... I don't understand it. I mean, I'm sure scientists out there, they're so, you know...
Well, what was it on the moon? They found the deep craters that had all the water in it. It was frozen, and they're
going when we bombed the moon, we shot a missile at it, and just like the only thing Earth, you know, something the United States would do, just bomb the moon. That'll be great.
But they found, you know, stuff. I mean, if you find water, okay, then you're getting to an atomic level. There's something there. So, I mean, why can't there be? I mean, they're looking for something organic.
Yeah.
So they might find it. And I saw something the other day on Mars.
Methane. Yeah. They found methane on Mars. Said that that might be an indicator that there used to be life, I think. And it's, I think more and more, I think Mars, they're going to find eventually had life of some sort. I mean, of
course, they found water crystals up on Mars, right?
I think
they
did.
And if there's water.
Yeah, and they, didn't they find like a something here that said there was, it was like from a meteor that came from Mars or something? We found it in Antarctica. This is a long time ago. I don't know what they found on it, but I think it was like a fossil of like a bacterial life. So
they found a big alien hand fossil.
Yeah,
in Antarctica.
Look what we found. But it's one of those things. I don't know. I think they'll find proof that there was life on Mars.
I think I was watching something because today's basically UFO abductions and stuff like that. I was watching a video just yesterday. A guy getting apparently when you're abducted, the aliens put like a tracking system of some kind in you, some kind of implant, and we can talk to Joe about this later. But the guy was getting the implant surgically removed, and they sent it off. It was really small, but it looked like maybe the size of a ladybug or something like that, and pulled it out. It was metal.
Mm-hmm.
He sent it to some university. I think it was a university in Texas.
Yeah.
To have it analyzed. They couldn't break it, so they got like some chiseled off and tested it, and it was no known metal that's on Earth.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of neat.
But you get those kind of things, and the reason I'm always skeptical of them is like, well, wouldn't you think there'd be more fuss in the media? Like, there was this stuff in this guy that was no known, metal known to man. You'd think he'd be like, well, that's kind of weird.
But yeah, but you look at the way the media treats any of this kind of stuff in the first place.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that the network bigwigs are going to say, yeah, this is a valid news story. You know, it's somebody like Inside Edition or something like that may carry the story.
It would be weekly world news.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That would catch it for the number one story.
But I can just see the mainstream media saying, we're not running with this because nobody wants to be the first one to take anything like that seriously.
Yeah. It's just,
that's a shame.
I think the problem is, we're poking a little fun at Stephen Bassett, but I think the problem is not just the White House, but I think it's disclosure everywhere. But it'd have to start with the media first. And I think that was kind of what they were kind of start to focus on. But I think most of them shoot past the media into the government, hoping that the government's going to talk about it when they're very media-minded. They have to watch their image, and the image is what the media, portrays.
See, but back in the 50s, like when we were researching about Ogilvy Park, when we had Frank Fraschino on, he was talking about, Bashful Billy and all that. We were looking in the library at the old newspapers. I mean, they put stories in the paper like Flying Saucer and Ogilvy Park and stuff like that.
Look at
the cartoons.
Well, okay, they drew the cartoon.
They made fun of it.
There were stories other than the cartoon. The cartoon was one aspect of it, but they had stories, when you get down into Point Pleasant, look at their old newspapers.
Yeah.
There's stories of, Creature from Another World, They put all that in there, as news. Now, nothing like that.
Well,
it's Obama's healthcare plan.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but the thing is, it's like, the problem with all that stuff ends up being that it still has this kind of this tongue-in-cheek kind of mentality, and it's also sensationalized. You're trying to sell papers at that point. Now it's like, if I go looking for stories for it, you're not going to find it in the regular, top stories or national.
New York Times is not going to run it.
Well, if they run it, though, it's going to be under, odd stories of the week or weird headlines kind of thing,
Yeah.
It's like right next to the guy that makes, potato
sculptures.
Potato sculpture of Obama, it's just like, that's not good.
But it's valid enough. I mean, there's more and more people coming out. Lola, I mean, you've talked about having seeing a UFO. There's doctors. We had Lynn, is it Kitty or Kitai?
Yeah.
That came out that wrote the Phoenix Lights
mm-hmm.
that had like 10,000 some witnesses, But still, it's like, oh, that never happened.
Edgar Mitchell, who's been to the moon.
Yeah. The astronaut who says, yeah, trust me, there's aliens. I've been there.
But they don't trust him.
But it's like, oh, that never happened. And we go, okay.
Well, he's just
a
senile old man that's been to the moon one too many times. And it's like a demonizing kind of thing that you would use it.
Well,
think about
the guy we had on last week. I think it was last week or the week before.
Last week was the Ouija board.
Oh, okay. No, it was the week before. Okay. Where he said for 2 years he worked on a project and never told even his wife.
Yeah, he couldn't even tell his wife.
Yeah, because he was so afraid of, you know, that image that comes out and is associated with people that do any type of investigations into UFOs.
But why?
Well, I don't know.
Why?
We have 2 minutes.
Why as a society? Why as a society is it to a place where it's like...
Because the long when they were first... Now, this is just my theory, and this is kind of a conspiracy thing. But when the first UFOs were being reported, the government was terrified. So everything that was done or said, they had to discount. And that image has stuck until the government themselves comes out and says Project Blue Book was a valid exploration into ufology or ufology. Then people still, because there is that taint that was put on it back in the 30s and 40s. And we have 1 minute, gentlemen, and then we have to go to our top of the hour break, and I will get Joe on the phone just before we come back from break.
Well, before we go, I'm going to say we need to go watch Avatar this coming weekend.
Ooh, that looks good, Avatar. Although they're saying Avatar. This could be James could be Cameron's awesome. $300 million testament to his own ego.
Right, let's see.
It's 3D, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. In fact, I've heard people get queasy a little bit watching it.
You're kidding.
Yeah, because
there's so much awesome, you get queasy.
It's like, oh, I can't handle it all. It's all going to come out of me. But real quick, do you think it's going to fail, Jordan?
No.
No, Lola? Do you think he's going to make his money back? That's what I'm...
Yeah, he will, because of the names associated with it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that, too. Because it's going to be like Titanic in space. And
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be like Titanic in space, but it's going to be pretty good.
I just want to have him have...
And then they all die at the end.
Yeah, I just want to have him have Leonardo DiCaprio die.
Don't say that. All right, we got to go, like guys.
Okay, everybody, we're at Market House Bar and Grill. Come see us. We're here till 7:30. You're listening to Whispers Radio on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog. We'll be right back.
Now it's time for Whispers, your number one source for all things paranormal, with your hosts, Jordan Klein and Nick Queen, and produced by the lovely Lola Miller. Whispers is brought to you by West Virginia Penitentiary Tours at the West Virginia State Penitentiary in Moundsville. Unforgettable, historical, educational.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Whispers Radio on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. We are broadcast live tonight from Market House Bar and Grill in Elm Grove, West Virginia. Come out and visit us. We'll be here till 7:30. After 7:30, we'll be going with John, that is at Union Local. They are battling Edison tonight. Give us a call, 304-214-1600. If you're out of the area, 1-866-514-1600. That's toll-free. I'm Jordan Klein. He's Nick Queen. And back in the booth is the lovely Lola Miller.
I can't help it. I just giggle.
A little schoolgirl.
Well, and we have our guest.
Joe
Here's
Montalvo.
Joe.
Right,
hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, Joe.
Are y'all up there, like, hitting the bar while we're on
air? Neither confirm nor deny that.
What? I didn't even hear him.
He's not even listening. He's...
Somebody off.
You've just confirmed everything he just asked you.
Then yes.
Curious. What? I mean, if I was at the bar doing live broadcast, I think I'd have to have one or two.
Well, see,
he can barely get it through it, and all he's drinking is Pepsi.
I'm drinking a Pepsi right now with no additives.
He's having enough trouble as it is.
And if I think I put in an additive, I had Mr. JT here put in an additive, I'd probably not make it through this very well.
Well, I didn't even get to give you an intro. Co-founder, international director, and spokesperson for ICAR, the International Community for Alien Research. You've researched alien abductions for over 25 years. Can you confirm nor deny that?
Yes, I guess I can confirm.
All right,
every time
you
I say it lately, I get hollered at. But.
Well, you also host UFO Undercover,
mm-hmm.
Talk radio show, and you run UPRN, UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
That we're happy to be a part of.
Yes, and I also host Changing America now, too.
Oh, really?
Now, what is Changing America?
It's all political.
Oh.
I'll make it real quick because I don't want to get into it too much. But I did a broadcast last year on Voice of the People, hosted by November Hansen. She let me borrow her show for a night, and I did it on Barack Obama and what we could expect if he won. Mm-hmm. Well, BBC picked it up.
Really?
Because everything I said in the thing has actually come to pass now, so they loved it. Well, when I did the three Change in Americas that I've done, I do one a month, they picked up and broadcasted every one of them. And
nice.
It's going over really, really, really well. It's actually helped the station out a lot. It's gave us a big boost in listeners in the last couple of months. And it's really nice. It's very hard-hitting. It's nothing that you'd ever want on y'all's station. I barely put it on my station, to be honest with you. I am rude and crude, and it's just things that need to be said, so I'm saying them. And it's getting a lot more attention than I thought it was, let's put it that way. And
I think people like when people are down, dirty, and gritty.
Well, a guy called in there last time I did one. He said, well, you're the UFO guy. What do you know about politics? I said, look, dude, just because I think E.T. is visiting the planet does not mean I don't understand that we have a moron for a president. In all fairness, I hate on Barack a lot, but, you know, I took some time on Bush and a few before him and, kind of painted out a pattern since the Nixon days where our country's been going. And I got to say, I've been getting a lot. No, actually, it's not. And it seems to be a progression in a particular direction, which, you know, I'm getting older, so I'm not as worried. I figure I only got 20, 30, maybe 40 years if I'm really, really lucky. But, you know, I got kids and grandkids. I even got great-grandkids. And I'm thinking,
jeez.
Oh, man, wait a minute. But I don't know if there's any way to do about it. It's y'all's job. Y'all the young guys. Y'all got to deal with this headache.
See what you guys did. It's your generation that did it for us, Joe.
I'm not going to deny that, you know, they were idiots. as I'd like to blame it on somebody else, I'm not going to be able to. I got to say, it's a pathetic state of affairs we're in today. But
well, since you're in with the political side of ufology right now, I'm going to ask you, because we were discussing a little bit earlier about Stephen Bassett, who mm-hmm. is he's one of the lobbyists pushing for.
He runs.
Paradigm Research.
Paradigm Research, yes.
He said, Obama, you better disclose all information by June 1st, or, you know, something along those lines, or else. And nothing's really happened yet. Do you see anything happening?
Well, actually, I don't. In all fairness, a year and a half ago, I told Stephen, I said, look, Stephen, I love you to death. I give him all the airtime he wants, and so does everybody in the station. We backed the million facts on Washington thing, by the way. We're a big part of it. But like I told him, you've got to give the president something. You got to give it. It's not even the president. It's the powers, whoever actually runs this. You've got to give them something. If they're going to disclose that we're being visited by extraterrestrials or we've been gaining technology from extraterrestrials, they're giving up a very strong playing card, a big chunk of power they have because of this. Why would they disclose it? I mean, you got to give them something. And what? What, giving them we're going to share with the rest of the world when we're disclosed? That's not what they want. So
yeah.
There's just no reason for the government to come forward. There's no, if there was an advantage, if there was some kind of advantage, like they would say, well, the planet's being invaded, we need to pull the planet together, which may be seen in the future. But if there was some kind of advantage for the government to come forward, then they would. But right now, only thing they can hope for is, let's see, mass panic amongst the religious sect of our country and the world, for that matter. A bunch of hacked-off contactees, because they're going to want to sue because the government's been knowing that they've been getting abducted. And there's going to be millions of lawsuits filed by contactees. That ought to just be hilarious. And then the first time someone like myself or anyone, like any of y'all, say, Mr. Obama, well, you're saying the aliens are here. What are they here for, and can we stop them? When he says, well, we don't know and we can't, well, half the planet's going to panic.
Yeah.
And we're the strongest, most powerful nation in the world, and we can't stop them. Yeah, so there's just no reason. And I tell this to Stephen all the time. We argue about this and debate this on the air many, many times. I will back and endorse anybody who wants disclosure because I think we always need to keep pressure on our government, even for every reason. Because, you know, I've noticed one thing about our government. You don't keep pressure on them. They just go off and do whatever the blank they want to do. So,
what card could he even give, Obama? I mean, what could he offer, or what could he, you know?
Yeah, what would he have to give him?
What do you think? How would this look like if we were going to say, okay, here's what you need to give, you know, perfect scenario?
Well, the only possible way I could see this happening right now is if someone actually had inside information, had pertinent inside information that could embarrass the government or you know, put the government in a bad light by coming out first with it. You might be able to get them, but other than that, there's just no reason for them to come over. Think about what's really going on here. It's not so much the government as this big business. They've been backwards engineering technology for 50-plus years.
Yeah.
They're making billions of dollars. They're gaining power, money, and status. And what are we going to offer them in exchange? There's really nothing we can offer them in exchange to give that up. All you can hope is that society changes enough that they become enough self-aware, enough of us know what's going on, that the government has no choice but to disclose. But at this point, I don't see that happening.
Before you came on, I was saying that it I'd almost have to be, instead of focusing on the government, I think the media would need the change first.
Education.
What's that?
Education. That's the thing.
Well, no, I'm just saying like the press, because you know they mock it so openly that it's the government would be, would look bad just even coming out and saying anything at all. You know, it's mocked. Anybody that comes forward is mocked. Like you were saying earlier, people are like, well, you talk about aliens, why should we take you seriously?
That's true. It's true.
So I think you should start focusing that way.
Well, you got to put pressure. And one of the first things I ever told Stephen when I met him 5 years ago at the first X conference I ever attended, I said, look, Stephen, I said, you really want disclosure, then you have to get a voting block. You need a petition with about 40 or 50 million American signatures on it, and then Congress will tell you whatever that they can. And I mean, not whatever they want, but whatever they can. Because some things, no matter what you do, you're just not going to find out about. There is a thing called national security. And I got to be honest, I do think some things need to be kept secret.
Yeah.
Certain projects we work on, certain things we do need to be kept secret because we do have enemies. So I don't have a problem with secrecy per se. I just have a problem like the other day I'm talking with, I was emailing John Greenwald Jr. and looking at the FOA site, and I realized they got stuff on there from World War One that's still classified.
Really?
Now, what the hell could we have had in World War One that the society today in 2010
couldn't handle?
Can't know about it.
Yeah.
What was it? I mean, you got to wonder about stuff like that. And then, went back and looked at World War II and Korea, and there's tons of stuff.
Well, part of that is things that are going to embarrass the government. Not necessarily some big military secret, but it's all the mess-ups and all the backroom deals that were done that nobody wants to come out.
Yeah, it's like Churchill and the Coventry rumor.
Yep.
Everybody says that Churchill knew that they were going to attack him. If they could prove that, that's a big matter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that I could see causing us problems. And some things I think will never be made public. And I think anything extraterrestrial related right now is very well kept, and I think it's very compartmentalized. So only a handful of people even have a clue what's really going on. And then you've got, little people. We'll meet people from time to time that work for the government, and they can confirm certain stuff for us, and they can even prove some stuff for us. I've even seen some pretty good physical evidence, but the thing about it is there one person, and it's not enough to come forward with, because first off, they're breaking their security clearance.
Yeah.
And if you've been in the military, that can carry a life sentence or death, depending. Like right now, we're at active war, so you'd be considered a traitor. You could be executed. So that's just one of those things. I see my chihuahua wants to get on the air with us. He wants to be famous. He wants to be famous. I don't know what it is. He's been on my show a couple of times, let me tell you. He picks the damnedest times to decide he wants to go on the air, too, aren't
he? Is he better than some of the guests you've had? Or?
I'm going to get him. Oh, it was funny one night. I was making fun of somebody. He started that Howard chihuahua to that weird bark. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, he's barking at the
that yip, yip, yip kind of thing.
Yeah, he was funny as hell, but it really is to see how it works. I don't know. I want disclosure, but I just don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime.
How about we were also talking about the United Kingdom closing their UFO hotline. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's the same thing. They did the same thing we did with Project Blue Book. Project Blue Book said, you know what? We know aliens are visiting the planet. They're really not doing anything. They're really not causing anything. They don't appear to be a threat to national security, so that's what we're going to say. They don't appear to be a threat to national security. All the Brits did was close something they said that just doesn't seem to be anything in here that's going to harm us. They even used those words. See, they did the same thing the Americans did. They never actually denied that the planet's being visited. They just said they didn't find anything
that they would consider to be a harm or of a security issue.
Now, do you agree? I mean, we've talked before. You've been on the show talking about being a contactee, right? Mm-hmm. Now, do you believe that there's nothing there that will harm you?
Oh, I see. I know better. And to me, anything that breaches our airspace that we can't identify or control is an act of war. I mean, that's how it's always been.
Yeah.
So, you know, when the government says stuff like that, you know the government are fully functionally aware that this planet's being visited, and to some part even aware of what's going on. But I have to be honest, from some of the contacts I've made over the years, they don't seem to know much more about alien agendas than anyone else does. It kind of scares me to think how much the government literally knows, but they are getting something in return. Whether it's technology or knowledge or something, they are getting something in return. There's been some obvious changes in our society in the last 30 years that you've got to kind of... some things you can follow natural progression, some things you can't. Like the going from the tube to solid state, was that actually a progression or wasn't it? What made someone decide to stop using a vacuum tube and start using a solid state silicon chip?
Yeah.
Now, granted, the tube is still silicon, it's glass. I mean, it's basically the same thing, it's just now it was on a chip.
And you know there's transistor. Always something about a good tube amp.
See, I would have said natural progression because of my electronics training, but then, who, me?
What?
How's that? Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I heard somebody say something about breaking up. I was moving. I was sitting next close to the computer with the phone, too, so that might be why.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, some things I would have thought were natural progression, but then I seen the 1959, and there was a newspaper article I seen come out of Roswell, New Mexico,
yeah.
A couple of years after the Roswell crash, talking about things that were seen or found. One of the pictures is identical to like a Pentium 4 chip, if you've ever seen one. It looked almost identical to it. Another one looked identical to fiber optics. And there was another little thing that kind of had this appearance, because of its sheen, to be like aircraft aluminum. None of this existed 60
right.
years ago, all of which exist today. So either someone in Roswell had a really good imagination, or they truly had pieces of this technology, which of course we use in everyday life now.
But. And I know we've talked several times on the show about a lot of our things being reverse engineered from kind of like an alien, some kind of alien device. Even Nick talks all the time about Star Trek.
Yeah.
And I said it right, Trek.
Yeah, it is Trek. Don't get him calling you, man.
Yeah,
he gets mixed up all the time.
I get hate mail. I get my fair share of hate mail. But, you know, like the phasers and stuff like that, all this is here today. And, you know, where did it come from? Where were the ideas taken from? You know, we've discussed how, you know, contactees, abductees, you know, this is probably where, you know, a lot of our creative end is coming from.
Yeah, well, one of the theories that Melinda Leslie and I work on is we call them MILABs, but she's actually calling them REABs, because what the government does is they're taking them and they're reverse engineering the contactee for information or for abilities. Because, you know, a lot of contactees say they may have seen this or they may have seen that or they may have experienced a particular event or seen a particular part of the ship or something that the government may be interested in. And a lot of these people now, thanks to the Internet, it makes the government makes it way easier to find it because of Green Lantern and Echelon and even Carnivore now, because they've upgraded it, they all do keyword search.
Yeah.
And it's not just audio anymore, it's text as well. So anything, it don't matter who you are or where you live on this planet, if you type onto the Internet, it's going through one of those programs.
Huh.
So you got to be really, they started doing it because they found out, you know, terrorists were communicating via chat rooms of all things.
They were emailing.
And now they started monitoring.
Yeah, that's how they released their videos and stuff. They just released another one saying how they felt bad about killing innocent people. You know.
And it's the way the government has found out where many of these people were at was through the Internet. And so, you know, we're talking conversation right now. It's going through the same systems. Or someone's actually listening to it. They think there's any pertinent information going to be said.
Hello, everybody.
They're listening to our show, Joe, because
well,
we get all kinds of good stuff.
I don't know exactly why. When my producer first told me this, when I first sort of got involved with radio 8 years ago, he said, Joe, you know, every time we do your show, my open line's on, meaning someone's listening outside of the studio. And I said, you're full of it. Well, when I left him and started the station, I have not done a show, not any shows on this station, that when we call out, the open line light doesn't come on. It means someone tapped into the line. And since all the phones are right here in front of me, I know there's no one else picking up a phone anywhere else in the place, so... You know, and we always tell them, hi, what y'all doing, hope you're enjoying the show, stuff like that. And all they're doing is they're doing keywords. They're looking for specific things. It's like one-stop shopping. Why go out and, you know, why go out and chase people around or harass them or do anything else when you have the Internet now? You can find out what any one UFO guy is doing or any paranormal guy or anybody for that matter, sooner or later is going to post it to the Internet. Or they're going to get on one of those.
Give us a list of the keywords because Jordan will read them by accident one day.
Oh,
the next thing you know, we're dead.
I got myself flagged one day playing around. I actually got a friendly letter thingy from him. We were in the chat room of all places, just BSing, and we were going back saying, I'm not going to say the words on air, but we were saying particular words that we know might throw up a flag, you know, like bombs and so on and so forth. And sure enough, it got flagged. And I didn't get harassed. I mean, I just got a letter. A couple of people actually showed up to her house and harassed them and stuff.
So what did the letter say?
It said that it was brought to our attention recently that via this particular chat company, and I'm not going to mention their name, that you had said this, and this, but after doing sort of background check, realized it was blah, 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 blah.
We realized that you're full of crap.
Yes, you know. Come on, I'm 46 years old, living in New Orleans. I served in the military. I got a high clearance. I do radio. I talk about aliens. I'm not really a threat to the government.
Well, part of it is like
that I want ET to, you know, disclose. I'm not going to blow up somebody's building or something like that. So, you know, I'm sure
that's
that.
the or else that Stephen Bassett was talking about.
What?
Yes.
He's going to start blowing up buildings. Do it
don't,
now.
Don't say that.
Jordan, watch what you're saying.
Gosh. All right. Well, we're going to go to a break while I beat Jordan about the head.
We do have to take a break, you
So. But real quick before, you know, how long do we have?
Like right now?
We'll come
Joe,
back.
Joe, you're going to hold on, right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
You got something you want to say?
No, we got
to
go.
Okay, you're listening to Whispers Radio on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. We'll be right back. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Whispers Radio on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. It is 6:38 p.m. Couldn't tell you the degrees, but we are in...
Cold.
It is cold degrees. We are live right now at Margaret House Bar and Grill in Elm Grove. Come on out. We got the Whispers special. They're offering $2 mixed drinks, $1 domestic beers. Until 8 o'clock. So come on out, join us, have a drink, spend some time with your your favorite Whispers people, but Lola's in the studio, so your second
Stop
favorite
it,
people
you
on
guys.
Radio.
You know everybody loves you guys.
I'm Jordan Klein, he's Nick Queen, and back in the booth that usually giggles like a little schoolgirl, the lovely Lola Miller.
It's better than you say cackle.
Who's ever said you cackled?
You!
I don't.
Oh. You did say she cackled. You know, Lola, I did have a talk with Jordan. He understands what he did wrong.
Okay.
So. I got grounded.
Yeah.
Okay. Joe, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, our guest for tonight.
he's just marveling. Joe. Yeah.
Joe Montado, he is the director of ICAR, the International Community for Alien Research, and has investigated UFOs for 25 years. He's a radio host and... kind of our boss with UPRN. So if you're listening...
Everybody be on your best behavior.
Everybody be on your best behavior. Call in. Say, hey, I'm glad that you guys are on the air because I love this show. And, yeah, number's 304-214-1600 if you're out of the area. 1-866-514-1600.
You know, I was just thinking y'all haven't made the negative feedback page yet. That's interesting.
Well, I'm glad.
Wow.
That could be bad, though.
Actually, y'all really get a lot of positive people calling. I actually like y'all. One of my favorite shows. I get a kick out of y'all.
Thank you.
Somehow, I didn't listen to y'all on Tuesday, so it's but it's weird. There's only, I think, two shows so far that hasn't made the negative page yet.
Well, now that you pointed that out, I'm sure there are people flocking to it. Well,
I'd be like,
let's see what we can write.
I thought so many people were saying negative stuff. I'd just keep my opinion back. But And now
only,
it's coming.
As a matter of fact, the only thing I even got was cross was when Lola was off 2 weeks, they wanted to know who the new people were and if they were permanent. I said, why don't you write and ask them? I'm like, don't write me. I don't know.
Everybody loves Lola.
Lola is the reason we have listeners.
One of y'all was missing. One of the guys was missing one day. They were looking for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's funny, people, and I didn't realize this until a couple of years ago, but they identify with different hosts, which is kind of weird. But they do. and that's who they want to hear. They don't want to hear anybody else.
I know. It is strange. And people, and listeners, I consider some listeners to be my friends, even though I have never met them. But I've talked to him so often on the air and off the air that just because we've never met face to face doesn't mean that we can't, that we're not friends. And it's a strange relationship. It really is.
Yeah, that's like through UPRN, we have a listener in, Scotland that I play video games online with or on Xbox Live. Yeah, I talked to him on there.
Yeah, we got a nice European.
I don't have any friends.
Nick's left out. We let Nick come. All right, we actually got an email addressing you as a guest, and we wanted to Nick got that.
So yeah, I'm going to read the email here. It's from Jerry in Youngstown, Ohio. It says, "We recently discovered your show and really enjoy it. The chemistry between the three of you make for a wonderfully entertaining and informative program."
Plug. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, you think it might be time for that follow-up interview of Joe Montaldo, the UFO abduction research specialist from ICAR? Would love to hear more about Gulf Breeze and those surfing gray aliens.
Oh, I bet.
May you all have a very safe, happy holiday season. Jerry, Youngstown, Ohio. So, and this is actually not the only email we received about you and surfing aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a poor description of what we actually seen that night, but... to be honest, I don't know how to describe it. It was me and a couple of friends and my wife while out there. And what happened was, we had a contactee come to us that was having problems. They couldn't seem to get a grasp on things. They were having problems with reality. They were just having a problem in general trying to get their brain straight.
Yeah.
And we know of a place between Pensacola and Mobile, Alabama. We call it, it's like a null zone. There's no contact there. There's never even seemed to be a contact chase there, or even a sighting for that matter.
Okay, now is it a contact chaser? What's that?
Well, for some reason, when you're a contactee, if you go through there, the aliens tend to keep some kind of link with you all the time, whether it's psychological or technological. There's some kind of link they actually keep with you. Well, you can get them, if you can get them to these areas, it actually clears the link for a while, allows their own self to take back over, and it gives them at least a fair chance of getting keeping themselves from just losing their mind totally.
Okay.
But to make a long story short, that's what we were doing down there. And so we decided after we had got finished in Mobile that we'd drive down to Pensacola with a bunch of us. We went and parked down there, and we're all sitting down at the beach laughing and cutting up and goofing off. Pensacola, in the summertime, is utterly a beautiful place to be at, or late at night or early in the morning. I mean, the stars, they feel like they're running from the Gulf to the beach. It's just a beautiful place to be. And we're sitting there cutting. I mean, there's people on both sides of us up and down the beach.
Yeah.
And it started to get kind of quiet, which was weird, and because there's a bunch of people out there, so it's weird. And we were watching. There was like at first we thought it was like heat lightning or something off in the distance, flicking way out over the Gulf. Then we noticed it was getting a little closer and a little closer to shore, but it was staying in line with everybody else. Well, finally, you could see what it looked to be like someone standing in the water at first, somebody around 5 or 6 foot tall, standing out, 100 feet offshore or something like that. And then the person sitting next to me started tapping me on my leg because they didn't want to say anything. When I looked to the right, you could actually see there was three grays on the beach taking these people from the beach. And the reason we call them surfing aliens is because it looked like when they're coming in from wherever they were coming in the water, it looked like they were riding on top of the waves. What they were doing is somehow or another they had a cushion of air between them and the water, and they were moving themselves forward. But every now and then, there would be a wave that would break underneath the cushion, so it made it look like they were surfing on the waves. And so that's why we call them the surfing aliens, because it's really what it looked like. But in fact, it's not what was going on. They were just kind of hovering over the surface of the water coming forward to the beach. Now, what was funny about this, we actually witnessed all together at night probably seven abductions, which were within 75 feet of us. We could actually hear what was going on. They were so close to us.
Wow.
All of us that was there, that were involved, because it was three and then there was two, so it was five total, but there was three in the beginning and then two added in.
Yeah.
When all this was said and done, and the bad part is two of these people never even had met me before, so they were kind of literally freaked out.
They thought you did it.
Well, no, they were like, Joe, I've heard you talk about graves, and you come down here, and you say, if you come down, if you got patients, you'll see them. She said, oh, I thought you were crazy. But literally, they were freaked for quite some time afterwards, to be honest with you. But, it helps because they're not from the South.
Yeah.
They're actually from up north. They're not family or related to us in any shape, form, or fashion. They had actually come down for another reason than extraterrestrial, even though they're interested in it, they were down for another reason. And I had to do more with my other job with construction, but they just were with us when it happened.
How often, here's what I'm saying this, Lola wants an experience so bad, and I'm thinking, what are the chances that we take a trip down that we see something like this?
Well, if you're going to go spend 4 or 5 days in Navarre Beach, Florida, near Eglin Air Force Base, and you're willing to hang out there at night, it's probably a 60 or 70% chance you'll see something. If you experience something, there's probably a reason for it. I mean, if there's like a physical contact itself, then there would be a reason for it, which would mean you had already been contacted earlier in life. So
if you did experience something.
So in other words, I should just go down, and if hopefully I could just see them and not like talk to them.
If you go down there, if we tell people get a room on the beach,
okay.
Listen, you'll start hearing what sounds to be like sonic booms. There's several Air Force bases there,
yeah.
Naval bases there. But all of a sudden you start hearing them in sequence, like boom, 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 boom. You're like, what the hell? You start going outside, you don't see anything. Of course, when a plane's traveling, it's fast and the speed of sound, it's hard to see them anyway. But you'll notice it'll start going like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in a row. Well, if that was a plane, he's now doing Mach 8.
Yeah.
So you can pretty much rule out that's a jet of any kind.
Yeah.
Usually what you'll see down there is a type of saucer or a triangle. The triangles are probably U.S. government, more than likely, or at least the small ones were. Them ones, they say, are 4 miles across. I don't know who the hell those are. Them things are huge.
Is that like Phoenix?
Yeah, well, Phoenix. Now, I'm glad you brought that up. I had Richard Sauer on just recently.
Uh-huh.
And him and I came to a weird thing while we were on the air. We both noticed, we were talking about this, and we were trying to find out how many people had seen the big black triangles just streak off. Like you hear people say UFO, it's like it's gone. It was there and it was gone, or it just takes off. Well, come to find out, we can't find any of these big, big triangles where they say they just took off. And the reason this is so important, there's only two cases where we knew they just like went straight up and disappeared. So we're figuring those two were probably extraterrestrial. But because of the new blimp program the government has, we're thinking the other ones may have actually been just triangle-shaped blimps.
Really?
Well, they're moving slow. They're not taking off fast. They seem to take several hours or at least an hour or more to cross an area. And it all came up. We got to talking about Stevensville. And we both know of two projects the government have right now that they're working on. There's a high-altitude aerial refueling station. It's about 3 miles long and about 2 miles across. It's a giant blimp. And it sits up around 88,000 feet where only our planes can reach it. And they want to put 5 of them around the world. The Navy's doing this so that they can refuel at any moment from anywhere without any worries at all. But what started that was is, they're getting rid of the Hubble. They're going to retire the Hubble.
Yeah.
A guy came up with an idea to build a telescope bigger than the Hubble, put it on top of a blimp, bring it all the way to the top of the atmosphere, and use it to, move the telescope around. And when you need to repair it, instead of spending $3 billion sending up the shuttle, you lower the blimp back to the ground, you service the telescope, you send it back up. And it's in the works. It's a project that's being worked on.
Wow.
And this thing is like 2 miles wide by 2 miles across. And they have to be this big because to sustain when they get up there, the pressure is so great, they have to be able to sustain it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to compress down, actually, some, too. But that's the thing. I mean, we're building these things already, so what's to say that we didn't already have them? So we went back and did some research on some dirigibles like the Zeppelins and stuff and how big they were and what they could carry. I never realized that, the Zeppelins were basically just big ocean liners in the sky.
Really?
I mean, they carried as much material, they carried as many people, except they were way more fuel efficient. I didn't know that. This was kind of an awakening for me. So the more we've been looking into this, we're starting to think that some of these may have been predecessors to these ones they're building for these high-altitude fueling stations and high-altitude launching platforms.
Now, could also, though, this be something to do with, like, the kind of the mill lab idea? You know, this is maybe where, because if you have something on the ground, you can usually find that eventually, unless it's underground, something like that, underground base or so forth. But what if you had bases that were afloat around the world that, you know, you take people up to, and you do your, you know, whatever studies, and then you take them back down?
Well, so they've talked about that, you know, keep them up way at the very top where they can see anything moving or anything coming,
uh-huh.
where you could shoot down any missiles well before they ever got to you, or any planes well before. Because with a vantage point like that, if it's armed, there's
yeah.
nothing going to get to it. I mean, it's there's no way anything could get to it unless it ran out
of weapons.
But so it's a great idea. And, you know, I've even heard the Navy talk about drone blimps where they put two or three of them up there that are a couple of miles across. They have, like, you know, 15 or 20,000 drones in them, and we can just fly them over a country like Russia or China and just cut them loose. Because,
huh.
You know, our military is moving away from manned military.
Yeah, that's like the Predator drone.
Yeah, what's that? We've got jets now that they can fly remote. They're working on a version of the M1A1 that's
wow.
remote. And so we're getting away from this. We've even got little subs now that are basically just torpedoes that we control underwater. And, you know, we've had a cruise missile for a while. So, you know, these are things that we're moving towards so that we can, and, you know, even our troops today are wearing full body armor. You know, we're getting new weapons that are lighter and better. You know, we've got the night vision off. It's a much different military than it used to be. So we're trying to get away from killing our own people. Besides that, think about this. America can't go to war with China one-on-one because we're going to lose. We'd have to nuke them or something
that
like that.
That we owe them a lot of money.
Yeah, we'll probably get rid of that problem anyway. But the thing of it is the Americans can mass produce anything. So if we start mass producing drones, 100,000 a month, China really don't have a chance. We'll just keep launching drones until there's nobody left over there and not have to nuke them. You know, we'll just keep launching. We'll launch them from our allies. We'll launch them from here. We'll launch them. You know, we're building two bases in the Black Sea right now. So we're putting one in the Ukraine. We're basically surrounding Russia and China. That's why Russia's so mad at us. Wait, I got to ask y'all something while I'm thinking about this, because this
sure.
is one of the questions that come up on the other show. So do y'all think that the Peace Prize should have went to Barack?
Of course. I mean, think
absolutely
of all the,
not.
Think of all the stuff that he did.
Yes, those three
he
speeches
three
he gave,
days.
That's unbelievable.
Let me tell you what, Joe. If I was given a prize for all of my ideas that I had, I'd have several.
Well, Jordan actually did just win a prize. You guys probably didn't hear about it. He
no.
won the Univision Best Male Actor of the Year.
Did I?
All right, yeah. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, well,
Nick,
yeah.
Nick's trying to say some kind of joke, but it's one of them that he understands. So.
No,
it's the Spanish-American channel.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay, that one went over well.
It didn't go over well at all. It was better in my head.
Oh,
where should have stayed.
It should have been a lot funnier if you would have told me, hey, I'm going to tell a joke, and I could have muted your mic.
Now, y'all should come down maybe this October. I think we got an online conference going to start in March. It's,
uh-huh.
it's basically a military abduction conference. There's like 10 of us going to be on there. but if it goes off the way it should, it'll probably sponsor either a 1 or 2 day conference down here in October. One day will be dedicated to ufology, but one day will be dedicated to paranormal because I live in New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't really do a conference out here if you're not going to include paranormal, because I live in New Orleans.
Yeah, I know.
And the paranormal people are going to get upset. So I said, no, no, no. Well, a guy wrote to me the other day. He said, Joe, you own a paranormal radio network. Why aren't you going to do anything paranormal? I said, okay, you made your point. We'll do something paranormal. I'm not going to fight with y'all about it. We'll just do it. So.
Oh, believe me, Joe. If you, we've been wanting to come down there since the show started. And I can't think of a better place to go than New Orleans.
Well, you know, I was talking with a friend of mine, I was in Chad or Dan the other day, and he was telling me about the Haunted Mortuary, which I still haven't been to, by the way.
Yeah, they sent us.
I know, I live here. It's such a sad state of affairs. But
they invite us to come and stay, and we can't afford to get around.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I wish I could because they got all those cameras and all. He was telling me they got suites where you can stay in a suite overnight.
Yeah.
I think he said they were like $300 a night or something. And but, you know, they got like 40-something cameras. And recently they told me they put in more cameras and more audio equipment so you can monitor the whole place.
Wow.
It's like taps on steroids or something. And I'm dying to go. I really am. And, you know, and I wanted to go down there to talk to him about advertising as the museum and all anyway, but... man, I never can find any time. I was talking with Diana the other day. She's been trying to get me to go on a vampire tour. They want to do a vampire tour and broadcast the tour live while we're on the vampire tour.
That'd be fun.
And so sooner or later it'll happen. It's just a matter of getting me to... I told her I ain't walking through French Quarter and freezing cold.
No, I know. And it's cold down there now, isn't it?
It is right now, but it's been raining. It rained like 15 inches in the last 3 days.
Wow.
It's been a ridiculous amount of rain we've been getting, but... Here's one for you. We're out videotaping one night looking for UFOs, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm videotaping. We're sitting at home going through the videotape, and we're in the Honeyon Swamp, and we got something walking across the road, just walking across the road. So I pull it up, put it on a big screen, go put it on a plasma. I said, all right, I'm going to figure out what this is. It looks like a guy in jeans and a flannel shirt, but, you know, see-through going across the damn road.
Yeah. Wow.
And it still freaks me out every time I see it. And, you know, we weren't looking for that. That's not what we were looking for. Because we're really bad. We like to film a lot of what we're doing. We take a lot of pictures, which a lot of them get deleted. But you just never know what you're going to see when you're out and about in some of the areas we go to.
Yeah.
And it was wild. Not as wild as that thing we got in the church, but it was freaky. I still got it. I got it.
We need to see this.
Yes,
we do. I'm going to probably put it online because I learned a valuable lesson. One morning, it was about 5:30 in the morning. I'd been at the casino all night. We weren't UFO hunting. And by the way, I was drunk, I'll be honest. not completely drunk, but I was buzzed. So I told the wife, stop the car, stop the car. I get out the car with a 3 million candle Q-beam and my camcorder. And I'm filming the church, right? And this is a 160-year-old church on Cadillac Body. So I'm out here filming. Lucky I didn't get shot by somebody. Because we're in the middle of the woods. I mean, we're in the sticks. So I'm filming. I'm like, wow, look at that. And I seen something moving in the window. It kind of freaked me out a little bit. And I said, well, maybe I just buzzed. Don't worry about it. So did all of that. Didn't think about it for like a year, okay? Didn't ever even look at the videotape for like a year. I got a bunch of people over one night come in from out of town, iCar members. I said, why don't y'all go through some of these tapes with me and help me get them? And all of a sudden I start hearing, what the hell? What the blank, 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 blank? I'm like, there's something standing. First off, you see what appears to be a person. It kind of even looked like a grave, but it was something standing in the window looking out of the church, which was freaky because it was 5:30 in the morning. But what's freakier was something big and black walked behind the thing standing in front of the window. And still to this day, when I think about it, I get the heebie-jeebies. So I took the tape and I put the tape up so it would never get put back in the recorder. And we watched it a dozen more times or so, showed different people. And a friend of mine came down and was going to do some editing for me and put it on a CD and put it somewhere else. And it stops right as you begin to see something in the window, and then the rest of it's gone.
Oh.
I am just so grateful because, like, three dozen. So, you know, at least, you know, everybody knows I'm not insane because this many people saw it. But it really, truly kind of scared me. I was like, what the hell?
Wow.
Well, listen, you guys, we got to take the top of the hour break. So, are you sticking around, Joe?
Yeah, I'm with y'all.
I'd like to talk to you about military abductions when we get back. All right, awesome.
Okay, time for some CNN news. We will be right back. You're listening to Whispers Radio on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
And now back to Whispers, brought to you by West Virginia Penitentiary Tours.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Whispers Radio on AM 1600, WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. It is 7:07 p.m., cold outside here in downtown Wheeling. The number's here, 304-214-1600. If you're out of the area, 1-866-514-1600. I'm Jordan. He's Nick.
And she's I'm Lola.
The giggly. See, every time I say giggly, she goes,
I do,
Lola
I do.
Miller.
I think that was a cough.
Yeah, that one
no, wasn't.
A giggle.
It wasn't a cackle.
It was a cackle. I'm sorry.
It was a nice cackle from the lovely Lola Miller.
I'm going to punch you both.
I'm too far.
And
out
Joe
of your
is with
now.
Us. Yeah, well, you wait.
Mr. Joe Montalto with us on the phone. He is the director, co-founder, president,
CEO
of ICAR, the International Community for Alien Research. Also, I want to mention we're live right now from the Market House Bar and Grill. For the next hour, they're offering a Whisper Special, $2 mixed drinks, $1 domestic. Get out here and get your drink on before we leave.
Do you know how good that sound makes you sound, Jordan? I'm sure every single girl out there is just flocking.
You know, I try.
Actually, every time there's been a girl walk in here, they usually sway a little bit further away from him.
Aww.
As they come through. It's kind of sad. It really is.
You know, I try to keep my tears back, Nick, but no,
there's
I can't.
There's a tear in his Pepsi.
There's a tear in my
beer.
All right, Joe, let's save us from this. you'd mentioned something before, online conference. Well, before we, when was this going to be happening again?
Oh, wait, I got to stop, man.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to bust out while y'all are talking.
We jump around a lot.
We have ADHD.
I understand that. I'm the same way. best I can see, it's going to be the second weekend of March. I'll actually send y'all something when they set the firm date. But I know I'm going to be speaking there. Grant Cameron's going to be speaking there. Angela Joyner's going to be speaking there. Randy Copaine is. I believe Melinda Leslie is. Two of our state directors will be there. There's two very famous contactees. Well, Jim Sparks will be there as well. There's two other very famous contactees that are both Millevs that I have asked, but they have not said yes or no yet. So I'm not going to mention their names until so. Stephen Bissett will also be there. I don't know whether he's going to be talking about something related to the topic matter. That's because I want Stephen to be advertised for X Conference because I heard they might not be an X Conference this year.
Really?
And it's my favorite. I got to say, out of all the conferences I've attended, I like that one the best. It's the most professional. Everybody's the best dressed there. They're the best mannered. There's less of the aliens and, you know, green aliens flying around. It's just a very professional conference, and I feel very comfortable there. And it's, you know, I like Laughlin and all them. They're fine, but they're more campy and more playful, which is good, like Roswell and the festival. But
yeah,
it doesn't do justice to the people with the PhDs and the people who are putting a lot of their time and money into the field. If you go to lecture at Roswell, you're going to a festival like last year. Richard Dolan and Grant Cameron told me this. They were lucky to see more than 30 or 40 people attend their lectures when usually there's 200 attending one of Richard Dolan's lectures.
Just because it's more of a festival.
Because it was a festival, everybody was more interested in the musicians that were playing and the parties going on and the things going on, which I can understand. But, you know, don't bill it as a UFO conference. Bill it exactly as a festival. And kind of like the museum I heard was standing room only, but the Roswell conference wasn't. So that was disappointing in itself. So,
well, there's a place for both, and you need to separate the two.
There is. And there is a place for both. And like I tell everybody, I said, just, you know, let Roswell do its festival on the 4th of July and then do a conference afterwards, or separate the conference itself further from the thing. But, you know, it's hard to get them to do that.
Okay, now what kind of event are you going to be having then?
Well, the one online. This is all, the first one's going to all be online. Basically, it's pretty much themed for military abductions. It's really what we're going to be talking about, why the government would want to abduct contactees. We'll be talking about why the ETs might want to take contactees and why the government may be interested in contactees and so on and so forth. And I heard you when you were talking about the implants earlier in the show.
Yeah.
One of the things about implants is real true implants are usually government implants. There are a few alien implants, but aliens track you via your DNA, which is something our government, by the way, is working on and having.
Do you mean like nanotechnology then?
No.
Like
they
tiny or like strictly?
If they've got a sample of like your mother's blood,
yeah,
they can track you anywhere on a planet. They don't need implants. They don't need implants. They can actually identify each individual by their blood and their DNA, which our government can already identify us all by our own individual DNA by taking blood tests. But they're working on scanners that can just circumvent that. So they can just scan you and know right where you are. I mean, they already.
Is this going by like maybe like a biorhythm kind of thing? Because you know, I've read something about that to some degree. You know, like everybody kind of has a signature kind of signal that their body puts out.
Well,
or is this more something else? I mean, you know, am I a little closer?
Well, they got the bioelectric thing's interesting because everybody's body does put off its own individual.
Yeah. It's almost
frequency.
As distinct as a fingerprint print, yeah.
Well, it is. It's very distinct. But the way the aliens do it, they're actually sampling you. Anytime they scan you, it's basically a sample, and it's just a scan of your DNA.
Huh.
So they've got a chart of your DNA. It just matches, and they can tell who it is. And it's instantaneous. It's not having to wait for any. I guess, you know, their computers are a little bit faster than ours. But it's all basically instantaneous, and they don't see their problem. And the government announced 10 years ago they were working on this. Most people don't realize in 1990 the government announced working on magnetic drives and gravity drives. And then in 2000, NASA and Boeing both came out and said they're working on gravity and magnetic drives. This is an awful big leap in technology overnight, and but everybody seems to ignore that. Americans are getting weird. They got selective hearing or something.
See, we were talking about that the first half hour, too. We have a guest here, Joe. Her name is Susan, and last week she came on to talk about a dream that she had. We were talking about dreams, and I kind of thought it would be good for her to mention it to you, just to get a feel on what your first take is, since you have so many years research in it.
Yeah, this is weird, Joe. This is strange.
There we go.
Hello.
You want to turn off the microphone, get the microphone down, then put it on.
Hey, you know what? I'm learning. We're good.
Hello. When I first moved here, we lived in an old apartment building, and I had a dream where actually I was outside of the apartment building running, and I mean I was running and hiding, and I knew that I was being chased by an alien. I never saw anything, but I just remember the fear. I mean, it was an amazing fear. The next thing I remember was floating down into my bed, but I saw my dresser upside down. So when I woke up and I remembered those two things so intensely that it scared me a little bit.
Any like physical marks, any puncture marks or bruises or anything like that?
You know what? I never really checked. I never really took it seriously. I just remember that the dream was in color. It was very realistic. And I just thought that seeing the dresser upside down was one of the strangest things. I don't think you normally do that in a dream.
Well, you normally don't. And something I learned from a psychologist a long time ago is you can't dream about something you haven't seen or experienced. Your mind can extrapolate and make things up as it goes, but it can't really redesign something. So if you ever see something that's completely and totally out of whack, then more than likely it was an experience. But it's hard to say on something like that. I mean, that could just might have had a good, interesting dream.
Now, could that also be even experiencing it through a movie or something?
Let me ask you this, and you don't have to answer this question. Age over 40?
Oh, I am now, but when this happened, no. I was younger.
Younger? How much? Give me an idea.
I was in my late 20s.
And there was a sense of fear involved, right?
Extreme fear.
Okay. It might not be anything. It might not. The reason I asked you about the fear part is contacts between puberty and late 20s, because it changes around 28 to 30, are usually pretty horrific, pretty scary, pretty intense, and there'll be bits and pieces left in a person's memory, but usually not much more than that, for the simple fact that I tell us to all contactees, you don't want to remember what happened in your 20s. You really don't. If you don't have to know, there's no reason to know.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I was asking you over 40 is because a lot of people have dreams like these later in life. That's why they call it the awakening. It starts around 38 or 39, and they start having progressive dreams after that. Since you didn't, it may have just been a dream. It could have been something else, but any oddities, anything weird time, things go on in your life, Any sightings or anything like that?
Anything like that?
Gain any time?
Not that I've known of, but I actually have seen lights in the sky that I can tell you right now, they definitely weren't human because of the way they moved. I mean, when you see a light streaming across the sky, and it stops and then goes perpendicular on, you know, in an instant. That I just can't see where we have that technology.
Well, it's probably not us. I mean, we've got some pretty wild stuff these days, so it's probably not us. The best thing for you to do is we keep an online support group on paltalk.com. It's either under the Paranormal Radio Network room or under UFO Alien Phenomena, because it goes back and forth. There's a lot of people who have had experiences there, a lot of people who haven't had experiences. A lot of our directorship works out of the room. They use the room as a kind of an equaling platform for everybody involved, because sometimes it's easier for people to be able to, because your name's anonymous when you're in the chat, so you know the person you're talking to might know who you are, but nobody else does.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little easier for people to communicate across. I would suggest hanging out with them for a while, seeing if you've experienced any of the things they may be talking about, because, like I said, in your case, because you have had a sighting and you had a dream, it's possible that you could have had some kind of contact, but then again, it might have just been some really good television or something. Well, it's strange because, you know, I've had some people who have really come close to all the criteria for contactees, but turned out to have just really a really good imagination.
Yes, and actually, I would rather it be my imagination, to be honest.
Yeah, see, last week, Joe, we were trying to talk her into it.
Yeah, I was like,
oh my God, it was an alien abduction.
That's one of the nice things about the support group. Nobody's going to try to convince you either way.
Nobody's going to be like us.
Right.
We're just jerks.
They're not going to criticize you, and they're not going to try to convince you either way. What they're going to do is they're going to allow you to talk about things that have happened or stuff. And what's weird is a lot of times when you're listening to other contactees or other experiences talk, a lot of times it triggers things in memory. That's the main reason we use it.
Right.
Because it helps other people waking up. But if you sit there and you hear a lot of stuff and it never changes, it might have just been a good dream. And then again, the fact that you see something moves you into another category, though.
Uh-huh. Well, I thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Susan. We are out of time. Is that right, Lola?
Yeah, we got just enough time to close it out.
All right, Joe, I want to thank you so much. This is our last show of the year. Then we'll be back on Monday, the 4th, and then Monday throughout the basketball playoffs.
Whenever that is.
Whenever that may be. So thank you, Joe, for being our last guest of the year. We appreciate
Merry Christmas,
you.
I'm
going
to get in touch with you, Joe, because I want to try to get some of the people going to your conference on our show.
Not a problem, guys.
Promote them out.
And Merry Christmas to all of y'all. Y'all enjoy y'all's
time. Merry Christmas to you and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, Joe.
Okay, guys.
Hey, see ya.
All right.
Bye, Lola.
Oh, I love that guy.
Hey, he's great.
I love that guy. Just talk amongst yourselves for a second. I just want to make sure that John is on the phone and that we're ready to go to basketball.
Do we have a topic? Or
here's a topic. Everybody talk amongst yourselves. Everybody, remember, this is our last show of the 09 year. Monday the 4th, we will be back. Well, I won't be back, because I'll be on a plane coming home.
It'll be me.
But it'll be Nick and
Lola.
There
goes the listenership.
And nobody will listen. No, and it's going to be a great time. We got some new stuff coming for the year. One thing I want to bring up is all you independent musicians out there, Nick and I have discussed, and we want to use your music as bumper music for our show. That's the music we'll be coming in and out of commercials and stuff with.
Yeah, we've had a couple people sending us stuff even before we started talking about it. It's like, prompted us to do that.
Like Power Pirate, you know, they were 15 and they were amazing. You know, we want to do more stuff like that. So,
are we going to start them out at the new year? I think that's
a
great idea, because I think they're phenomenal.
We'll do some Power Pirate there for the new year. And send us your stuff, whispers1600@gmail.com. Send us out. Let's get a good base going of songs, and we'll start picking from that. It'll be good stuff. Any genre, you know, if we like it, it's in.
Okay.
So,
you guys, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
We'll get in touch, Lola. We got to get together.
Okay. We got to bring this equipment back to the studio anyway.
Yeah, that
so
Well, Biff will be here.
We love you all. Merry Christmas. And until next year, don't be afraid. Only believe.
Falling in on the ground, be tumbling. Oh, save me from myself.